Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're back with an all-new show. It's just me and Damage today because Blue is still celebrating her birthday. I guess it lasts 2 months if you're Haitian. We went to her birthday party, and she did this whole game night with a bunch of black folks playing Black Card Revoke and other games. I'm not a game player person. I don't like games, especially games with people I don't know. Did you enjoy yourself?
I enjoyed myself. One thing about the games, when you're drunk and you're trying to explain the rules to masses of people, that's when it becomes unfun. Now, if we play in the game, we all know it's kind of easy to jump into. But I had a good time. It was good food. It was good alcohol. You know, I set up the hookahs. I brought the vibes. That's what I do when I come to an environment. So I had a great time.
Well, I felt like I was back on the set of Love & Hip Hop because there was one point where she wanted the game to start and you were busy making the hookah and you two had a little friction. And I was going to gaslight the situation because I wanted to see a fight. But I stayed out minding my own business. You got your hookah. We played the game. I went home early by telling. We were playing a game where there was a person who was, killing people, but with blindfolds on. And yeah, a mafia. I was the mafia person. Didn't want anybody to know, but I was ready to go. So I just said, hey, I killed Rico. I'm out. And I ended up leaving. But anyway, there was a lot going on. The conflict was averted. But there's a lot of conflict happening here in Hollywood that has been all over my timeline, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, or whatever. Johnny Depp is in a fight with Amber Heard, who was his ex, because they are going through this crazy divorce. And now, they went through a crazy divorce, and now they're going through a lawsuit where he's suing her for over $100 million. Or is it $50 million? Oh, that's the Kardashians. People in Hollywood are suing for some ridiculous numbers. Well, Johnny Depp now is saying that she shitted in their bed, that he put a cigarette out on her. So this defamation trial with his ex-wife, Amber Heard, is underway, and several incidents in their toxic relationship are now coming to light. We've even seen videos and photos of a drunk Johnny Depp that were taken by his then wife just all over Facebook. Well, let me just kind of bring you all up to speed in case you don't know what I'm talking about, which you should. 2012, Johnny and Amber were dating. They went all the way through to 2015 where they got married. And then just a year later, she filed for divorce saying that he was abusive towards her. Now, their divorce was final in 2017. And in 2018, she published this piece in the Washington Post. Now, I read it and I will tell you, there are a lot of women out there who are victims of domestic violence. And we are people who support and want to lift you up. But then there's a lot of you women out there who gaslight the hell out of opportunities to attack a man that just don't want you no more. And in this case, I have to tell you, there should be a Men Too movement because Johnny Depp, I think, was a victim of Me Too gone wrong. She wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post called, quote, "I spoke up against sexual violence and faced the culture's wrath that has to change." And what she tried to do, Damage, if you read this op-ed, she was actually trying to gaslight real victims of domestic violence with historical context and other things to make women stand behind these claims that appear to be baseless against an A-list actor who at the time was one of the biggest stars in the world. And so now Johnny Depp decided to sue her because he said it was a smear campaign and he filed this $50 million lawsuit. She then filed a $100 million counter lawsuit. And now here they are acting out in court. What do you say? Is this privilege gone wrong or is this a real thing that, you know, Johnny Depp has to worry about?
It definitely sounds like privilege gone wrong. And another thing I like to see is when white people get ghetto. I like this because they ghetto is different. They putting cigarettes out on each other. They defecating in beds. This stuff I've never seen before. So I don't want to hear none of this about how we carry on. Because when they start acting up, they act up so different. Jason, this is wild.
Well, listen, I'm gay, so I definitely know defecating in the bed. I've not had that happen to me in a while. So, you know, whatever. It's just a shitty situation all the way around. But what I will say, if you look at what's happening with Amber and Johnny, this is a relationship where at some point they enjoyed each other's company and they, you know, figured out that this relationship that seemed to move fairly quickly was something that will last forever. I personally think that Amber Heard, in my opinion, is a clout chaser. And this clout chase has gone wrong. Johnny Depp has been somebody that's been in our hearts since 21 Jump Street. He's been in the fabric of movies and film. And we have fallen in love with Johnny Depp, so we feel like we know him. We do not know her. And so now that her claims, after she made these claims of abuse and went through this whole divorce thing and settled, she then later went back and wanted to win over public, you know, love by filing this op-ed against him and to keep her name relevant. Quite frankly, I don't know an Amber Heard movie. Have you seen an Amber Heard movie?
I never heard of it, no.
Mm-mm. We would never talk about her if she wasn't in this lawsuit. I think this is clout gone wrong. But I do agree with you. It feels good to finally see white people just run a trailer park presentation of ghetto all across the court TVs of the world. Because, you know, who would have ever thought the Pirate of the Caribbean would be sitting here dealing with this parrot?
Now, I mean, I ain't going to lie. Johnny Depp do a little crazy. He looked a little crazy. Looked like when he off that sauce, he might be doing something a little different. Is there a case where both things could be true, that she's clout chasing, but he also was a little strange with some of his activities? Maybe at one point she went along with it or something. Johnny Depp is a different guy. Like the Pirate of the Caribbean, he looked like he's that person off camera. I'm not going to lie to you. I love Johnny Depp, but he's a strange acting fellow right there.
Well, I'll tell you. I was watching his testimony. Johnny Depp is from the United States. I can't remember exactly where. I think he's from Kentucky. He's from somewhere like in a rural community. He speaks with a full ass London, British, Australian accent at this point. I think whenever he was in a Pirate of the Caribbean, that maybe that boat took a left turn somewhere and he just picked up this accent along the way, because as he was speaking, he was like, I have to tell you, you know, I was thinking about, I'm like, nigga, if you don't hurry up and just get it out, what happened?
He's the pirate now.
Yeah, I do think to certain degrees, I think this is becoming just way too much. And it's turning into a literal movie. You know, he also owns the Viper Room, or at least at one point owned the Viper Room here in L.A., which is where one of those celebrities, I can't remember his name, River Phoenix, died from a drug overdose. And there was longstanding history and rumors in Hollywood about Johnny Depp having drug abuse issues. And so when you see the videos, clearly he has a moments of blackout where he's drank too much. There's one video released where he tore up the house and was breaking glass and windows and stuff, which, by the way, it's his. He could do what he want. And that kitchen looked really old and not, I mean, it didn't look modern at all. So I don't even know what type of house or castle he was living at the time. But there's something I will tell you I feel really uncomfortable with, and that is the fact that Amber Heard was filming, secretly recording her husband at the time, who had reportedly drug and alcohol issues. And I just feel like, isn't that such an invasion of privacy when you film your loved one who's at their lowest moment or struggling with an addiction to only then use it later by putting it out on the internet for the world to judge?
Yeah. If that's your intentions to like out them in some type of crazy way, but it could be a case where she probably was trying to protect herself. I don't know. Like I said, Johnny Depp is a strange dude. I think he's very talented. I would hope that she is gaslighting, because I do not want it to be the case that he did actually sexually abuse her. But if that is the truth, maybe that's why she recorded it. Maybe she needed to, you know, get some footage, some proof to protect herself, because, you know, he is very rich. He's very powerful. The public loves him, and it's easy for people to take his side, which they did for a very long time. So maybe this was her way of protecting herself. I honestly don't know, but I will say this. Johnny Depp has definitely became that Pirate of the Caribbean.
Well, the lawsuit is live. The trial is right now happening in Virginia. It's going down. And, you know, we've learned a lot about what's gone on in their brief marriage. Johnny testified that Amber allegedly was taking a shit in their bed and then blamed it on the dogs. Now, we all love a good poop story. So if you don't want to take it from me, not the poop, the story, take it from Johnny. Take a look.
And then she brought up the situation of her fecal matter on the bed. And she just tried to blame it on the dogs.
Why didn't you think it could have been the dogs?
The dogs weigh, they're teacup Yorkies. They weigh about 4 pounds each. The photograph that I saw, I lived with those dogs for many years. And so did Hilda Vargas. She's a woman who's been with me for 30 plus years, you know, from the very beginning. And she was the one who photographed it. It was clear she knew the dogs as well as I did. And that was not, none of that did not come from a dog. It just didn't.
So Hilda, basically what he was saying in his new accent, I told you he got an accent. He basically was saying that shit was so damn big because it came out that big old booty hole that he was plowing that Hilda Vargas didn't know what to do. So she took out her Kodak camera and snapped. Can you imagine the housekeeper snapping this big old poop that's sitting in the middle of the bed? And I'll tell you, I understand if, you know, you're engaging in anal play, you know, one pump too many and Taco Bell is on your sheets. That's one thing. But like at this point, what you're saying is she literally in a drunken state squatted over your bed and on your fine linen just pooped out clumps of shit and human shit and dog shit. Teacup Yorkie shit and like Amber Heard shit is very, it's very evident the shit is not the same.
And what is the purpose of that? Like, what kind of get back are you going to get? Like, oh, you go and change your sheets. I ruined them. Like you said, she disrespected the housekeeper more than Johnny Depp because he didn't even get to see it firsthand. So I'm trying to understand the logic behind this because this is not the first time I heard of this in a White Ghetto Matters. This is like a thing they do. It's like, well, oh, I'm going to shit your sheets.
Because she can walk up to him and say, you shit on me? Well, guess what? I shit on you.
Touche.
Facts. Johnny also addressed Amber's claim of him putting a cigarette out on her, which is crazy. This is what he said.
Your Honor, this is a recording, Defendant's Exhibit 582, that we will play the entirety of.
All right. Any objection to 582?
No objection, Your Honor.
All right. 582 in evidence.
Put your fucking cigarettes out on someone else. You fucking have consequences for your actions. That's it.
Shut up, fat ass.
Yeah, you got me there.
Can you play that one more time, please, Michelle?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'll sustain the objection. Move on.
Mr. Depp, when Ms. Heard tells you in that recording to go put your cigarettes out on someone else, you don't deny that, but instead you simply say, shut up, fat ass. Is that correct?
I think that was another grossly exaggerated moment of Ms. Hurd's. I did not put a cigarette out on her or throw a cigarette at her.
It was the dum-dum-dum at the end. She sounded drunk. He clearly has issues with alcohol. I think this is a mutually abusive relationship fueled by toxicity and alcohol. You know, I don't know that Amber's the victim or that Johnny's the victim or that he's the aggressor, that she's the aggressor. But clearly it looks like they both provoked each other. And so I hope that Johnny wins his defamation case because we just need a win for the men at this point. Now, ultimately, black culture wins because it's white people fighting and white people airing out their dirty laundry. And we're sitting here sipping all the tea from it. But I want to see Johnny, you know, get back on that ship and sail one more time.
But I agree. I've been in long-term relationships and you get to a point where both people are equally toxic to each other. And I feel like at this point, it's like, who is going to win this in the court of public opinion? Because we both did some crazy, like from hearing that audio back and forth, you could tell they both did crazy stuff to each other. Now at this point, it's like an ego war. It's like, no, what you did was worse to me. You hurt me first. No, you hurt me when you retaliated with this. I really wish they could just settle this outside of the court because they just looking really crazy right now. But I'm with you. One more Pirates of the Caribbean. Why not? And I wish her luck on whatever film she might make in the future. I've never seen any if she's an actress.
And hey, Amber, if you ever get in another fight with your man, like find a toilet. please don't squat over the bed and put clumps of shit in the sheets for poor Hilda to clean. It's just so disrespectful to the service industry. All right, well, look, you know who else is in court? And I just can't stop talking about it because it's all over our social media at Hollywood Unlocked. Blac Chyna versus the whole Kardashians. Now, the Klan, and I'm not referring to the Ku Klux Klan, I'm referring to the other white girls from Calabasas. The Kardashians were in court, and they're now saying that they want the case against them dismissed. And Corey Gamble is saying that he saw Blac Chyna attack Rob. Now, Blac Chyna filed a $140 million defamation lawsuit, and it's on its way to a victory or not. Well, we don't know how that's going to pan out, but what we do know is that the Kardashians and the whole Jenner squad have been pulling up to court. Now, she's accusing them of domestic violence and canceling her E! Show, Rob in China. Last week, we learned of text messages that Kris Jenner was telling execs to pull her show and also text Rob saying, ditch the bitch. Now, regardless of all that's true or not, we also have now learned that Khloé was emailing E! Executives about quitting the family show if they gave China a second season. Now, Kim has come out and said that it's, you know, she didn't say that because if it was done on her show, she had the control and she would have been able to do it. But people are saying that China's the problem, at least the Kardashians are. Khloé said that China's, quote, chaotic and violent behavior would damage the family's empire and that she didn't want to participate in such toxicity. Now, I have to tell you, when Khloé went into the family by way, I'm sorry, when China, Angela White, went into the family by way of dating Rob to have that baby dream because Rob's sister Kylie had slept with Tyga when she was a minor, allegedly. And when she went in there and brought in Tokyo Toni and they were doing a scene together, did we not look at that and say, this is turning into Love and Hip Hop? We saw that. There's no way we saw China and Tokyo Toni going into the Kardashian show and thinking that that was going to be the same way we've been keeping up for years. So we knew it was a different show, but they also knew. And it was great for their business to have this entanglement between China and Rob and then Tyga and Kylie. It was great storylines for all of them. But now that this is coming out, you know, and Kim saying that, you know, they would never go into a, quote, toxic work environment, that China could never be on the family show. Well, anyway, this is going down in court. Now, people are saying that the Kardashians are getting preferential treatment. Can't believe that. And that China may or may not prevail. When you look at this playing out, damage besides the kids, what are you thinking about? Quarantine has made shopping online a hobby. I mean, I love getting new items shipped to my door with a click of a button. Everything from shoes, clothes, and even mattresses. Because who doesn't love getting a good night's rest, right? We all know how important sleep is to our overall health and wellness, right? Well, I'm excited to tell you about our next sponsor, Ghostbed. We love their products and can't wait to tell you more about the best beds in the game. I think I've got the best sleep with Ghostbed, actually. And before making the switch from other mattresses, I don't think I was able to get a healthy full night's rest. You know, the kind where you wake up feeling refreshed, no insomnia, no sluggish feeling. Let me tell you, Ghostbed is made in the USA by Nature Sleep, an industry leader in the mattresses space since 2001. And it's a family-oriented business. Every product from the mattress to their sheets and pillows is designed with cooling features, so it's perfect if you sleep warm, which I do, most people do. Shipping is free and fast, 24 hours fast. And you even get an industry-leading warranty up to 25 years, 2 times the industry standard. Plus, there's easy financing on mattresses with rates starting at just $35 a month. Ghostbed offers $0 down and 0% APR financing. So yes, you can buy a mattress for like $35 a month and they're giving you 101 nights to try out their mattresses. And if you don't like it, you can return it and get your money back. No problem. Right now, Ghostbed is having a flash sale and you don't want to miss out on their award-winning products. So to ND your perfect mattress, check out ghostbed.com/unlock. Right now, Ghostbed is offering our listeners 40% off Ghostbed bundles, where you can get a mattress and adjustable base, or 30% off site-wide. That is 30% off all mattresses, plus 2 luxury pillows. Use promo code UNLOCKED at ghostbed.com/unlocked. Hurry, take advantage of these savings. That's ghostbed.com/unlocked, and use the promo code UNLOCKED.
It's just so funny when they say toxic and chaotic, because if I'm not mistaken, they were friends with China before, right? Before all this happened, before the babies, for all that, they were friends, right? Was it toxic and chaotic then? Why could you have a toxic and chaotic friend off camera, out of the media, but now that she's, you know, closer, Or if she's closer, why is it now toxic and chaotic? Was she always looked at it that way? So it seemed like convenient words for the situation. I do hope that if they canceled her show, that there is some justice to be served, you know, and then two things could be true. Did Blac Chyna maybe, you know, put a little whooping on Rob? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You know what? We don't know.
For example, Chris's boyfriend is saying that Chyna put a gun to Rob's head and choked him with a phone cord.
Well, check this out. You know, like, you know, when you're impassioned and you're in love with people, they play around a little rough. You know what I'm saying? I think it was Ari that said that on social media. She's like, I like when a guy pull a gun on me. Like, some people do that in the passion of love. And Chyna says she was just playing. I don't want nobody put no gun on me. Don't choke me. But I don't know how she plays around. Like I said, she was a friend of the family for a long time. So for me, it's just kind of funny that now the narrative has changed about her personality after the fact. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, the other thing is that it's clear that her public narrative is changing because there's so much tea being spilled from the courthouse. And we all know that the Kardashians, you know, for what everybody has said, including me, control the media and have a lot of influence in, you know, dropping stories or whatever. But I almost feel like every single time there's an update in the court, it hits the streets like this one. Corey Gamble said when he entered the room, Chyna had a 3-foot rod and then dropped it and grabbed the cord and started whipping it at Rob. You know, he said, Corey said, quote, I got in the middle and got hit too. I had to try to get her attention on me so Rob could get his belongings and get out of the house. I could smell the alcohol on her. Now, I don't know. You know, is Corey going to say whatever Chris wants him to say because that's his bread and butter or that's his position? I mean, Corey has his own money and he does his own thing. But, you know, clearly he's elevated from Justin Bieber's assistant to now, you know, the patriarch of the Kardashian-Jenner household. They got a black daddy now. Well, Chloe has another black daddy. Either way, you know, he's in there. Now, after this week's testimonies, the Kardashians are now trying to get the case dismissed. The family's attorney, Michael G. Rhodes, said, quote, before trial began, these claims were absurd because there was no documentary evidence, economic analysis, or expert testimony that would support them. China's unsupported and wildly speculative claims for damages must not be allowed to go to the jury. Now, Chyna's mom, Tokyo Toni, who's been kicked out of court for things that she said about the Kardashians on social media, is now tearfully condemning mothers who pimp out their kids. Take a look.
And I'm going to say something to somebody. You stick it to wherever the anybody want to put it. A real mother don't pimp her kids. A real mother don't use her children and grandchildren for a profit. A real mother stands up and do what's right, whether they wrong or not. They still stand up and they do what's right. I pray to God and I'm going to pray today that this one particular person meet what they got coming to them in any kind of way, because the Lord don't play. You cannot be of the devil and think you're going to keep f***ing with God's kids. It's not going to happen. To be extracted.
Were those inside tears? Because I didn't see any tears drop. I mean, I was looking. Not that I want to see her in pain, but I can never get New York's face out of my head when she was on that show with Claudia Jordan. The first 15 or the last 15 minutes of your career, I don't know what it was called, but either way, she said, are those inside tears? She said it was an inner cry. It was the funniest moment on reality TV. So Tokyo, I didn't see any tears drop, but you know, I hope that you're emotionally okay. You know, but she raises a good point, right? Like Kris Jenner, on one hand, has been called a pimp, and Kanye on the show and on social media has talked about not wanting his kids to be wearing makeup and doing things on social media that are far away from his values. I mean, the man has, you know, an idea of what he wants his kids to be and become and how he wants them to be portrayed and how he wants people to see them on social media. And I think that's great. I think that one thing that Chris has led with just conceptually is that her kids weren't going to be a one trick pony. So she turned them all into tricks and she's figured out how to make those tricks for the kids pay out in cash. So on one hand, you could say she's a pimp, but on the other hand, you could say that she's a legacy builder and a brand builder, and she's somebody that takes a lemon and turns it into a lemonade tree. So I don't know. it, I guess it's a matter of proximity, a perception. I've always said I admire Chris's hustle and the fact that she's been able to take problems or situations that were thrown at her family and flip it into an empire. So you can't hate their business acumen, but does Tokyo Toni have a point to you that she doesn't understand how a woman would pimp out their children and their grandchildren?
I just think it's, some things can go too far. I do respect Kris Jenner's work ethic. I respect the Kardashians and what they have done, what they built, but they do have this power structure. They have this control over the media. And sometimes you're going to meet your match. And I feel like your match could be an unlikely opponent like Blac Chyna. Now, I was just being funny. I don't think it's okay to have domestic violence in any suit. Blac Chyna shouldn't be attacking anybody. I don't think Blac Chyna's perfect. I don't think the Kardashians are perfect. But if you're trying to silence somebody, if you're trying to stop their bag, you got to know who you're dealing with. You got to know where the skeletons are buried. And Blac Chyna was a friend. She infiltrated the family and she's doing what she's doing. And even if she doesn't win, she went at the Kardashians head first. She's not afraid. She's standing for what she believes in. And that's brave. Honestly, that's a really brave thing she's doing. When it comes to Kris pimping out the kids, it's subjective. You know, we work, this is 2022. We all work in this industry. The children of Kris Jenner don't seem to be complaining at all about the rewards they have reaped. You know, they got billionaire daughters. I don't know either way. I think it's all on how you want to look at it, but they seem to be happy and successful. So I got to champion that.
In your opinion, does it seem like the Kardashians, all they wanted was black babies and to just be so ingrained in black culture that with the bronze and the butts and the black kids, we forget that they're not black women?
I never forgot that. You think people forget that? I ain't forget at all. But
you don't see these girls running around here with this brown ass skin. Like, first of all, even if you lay on the beach for hours, your skin don't turn brown. They got bronzer where these hoes is going and laying up against white walls and getting spray tanned. Like, they're not even orange anymore. Damage, they're brown. Like, there's influencers who are pushing and promoting brands as an urban influencer, and they are straight up white women. Like, it's getting sick at this point.
It's been sick, but, you know, I don't knock the hustle. You know, I see what it is. Do I like all of it? Hell no. But then again, like you said, I see people like Blac Chyna who's going up against that. And like I said, I don't think Blac Chyna's perfect at all, but she can fight for what's right, what's rightfully hers. And hopefully she wins if she's telling the truth and everything that's going on with her case as far as her show. But this has always been a sticky situation, looking at this back and forth. Very entertaining, though. Thank you, Tokyo Toni.
Well, listen, Kim Kardashian dated black men far before Ray J. She had a first husband named Damon Thomas. He's a music producer. I don't know that he's had any hits. I mean, I haven't really heard anything on top radio. But anyway, he was Kim's first husband back in 2000 and for 4 years. So this man, the only thing I could think about when I saw him was, this man slept with Kim Kardashian? Well, he recently did an interview about some comments that she made on her show back in 2018. Kim had told Kendall and Scott Disick that she was on ecstasy when she secretly got married. And when she took it again, she then made the sex tape. Now, she was 19 years old at the time and Damon was 29. So this is when they got married, I guess. And she eventually divorced him, claiming that he physically abused her. Damon's continuously denied it and is now responding to claims of her being high when they tied the knot. I cannot believe this man laid on top of Kim Kardashian. Look.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all. So I don't, that's her thing. That's, you know, they can say with, you know, I'll say this to all fairness. I'll say something about that episode. I think that's unfair to, at this point, first of all, let's talk about Kim. I'm proud of her. I'm proud of her family. I've seen Kris at Kenny's wedding. I've seen, you know, and we all speak, and when I saw Kris last, we were cool. I've seen her a couple of times. I think it's unfair to make those kind of blanket statements because we have kids, you know. You know, I have children. My kid goes to the same school her kid goes to. So imagine him when he has to deal with that at school. I think that she should be more responsible with those statements because there's a lot more to that subject and those things. And I could go into that and blow up the spot, but I wouldn't. And I've been very responsible in not talking about what that marriage was or what it meant to me. And it meant, you know, you can kind of, because it happened in the past, you can try to sweep it under the rug, but you don't stay married to somebody or be with somebody for 4 to 5 years and it's just based off of you getting high off of ecstasy. You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, let me reclaim my words. I'm not saying he was ugly. He doesn't look like the type of man that would be laying on top of Kim Kardashian. But then again, she didn't look like that in 2000. So maybe before the work Kim and before the fame Kim and him being a regular guy was a perfect couple. I don't know. But either way, he's calling Cap. And are we surprised? These are the Kardashians we're talking about. They are a storyline family. And I don't know. I'm going to say that China is going to win her case. And if she wins her case, I think that changes everything, doesn't it?
It changes the course of a lot. And I feel like, and I could be mistaken, this case is about them canceling her show, right? Because all these things is coming out of China to demean her character. I don't feel like that's really going to work in their favor. I'm not saying people don't hold China to a certain regard, but it's kind of like, who cares? You know what I'm saying? China really wears who she is on her sleeve. She kind of owns everything she's been through, and she's been through a lot. So I feel like them trying to use that tactic, if that is a tactic against her, is not going to work. At the end of the day, did y'all try to cancel her show? If that's the case, then she's going to win that. But everything else they're trying to do to slander her and everything, it's like, yeah, that's messed up. Hopefully she gets some help, but that's besides the point.
Y'all, let me tell you about this beauty brand that I'm obsessed with, and it is literally taking over my beauty counter. They're all over TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and they are winning major awards left and right. They sold out of every color they dropped in 2021 and had a waiting list of over 25,000 people. Listen, the brand is Wonderskin, and this company you have to check out because it has some of the coolest products I have ever seen. First, you put on this really cute blue lip mask, and you mist their activator, and then within seconds, you can peel it off the mask, revealing a beautiful natural lip shade underneath, which is transfer proof, waterproof, featherproof, and will last up to 10 hours, ladies. Yes, even when you're kissing. And they just won the prestigious Allure Best of Beauty Breakthrough Award. You have to try it. But they didn't stop there, though. They also have the best skincare that I'm obsessed with. It's called Pure Vox, which is a cover-up spelled backwards because it's literally the opposite of covering up. With just these three products, you'll get the meaningful results like flawless-looking skin and a beautiful glow in just 4 weeks. I can't leave my house without using Pure Vox. And it's been so good for me. I'm telling you, Wonderskin is going viral for a reason. They were just on the Today Show, and they've been featured in People Magazine. The buzz is real. You have to check them out. And they're led by Team WOW, which stands for Women of Wonderskin, and is composed of several accomplished global beauty experts helping to innovate in the field. As I said, I've been using Wonderskin products for a while now, and I'm obsessed because it works. All the products I use truly make a difference in my makeup and skincare routine. They're unlike anything I've ever tried before, especially Pure Vox. I love that the best, as you can clearly tell, and my skin hasn't looked this good in years. My skin is glowing, my confidence is through the roof, and I can't leave the house without having this on me. Now, if you have been sold the way I have, please, please check them out. Enough about me. You can check them out at wonderskin.com and use the promo code UNLOCKED. That's wonderskin.com, promo code UNLOCKED, and you can receive 20% off plus free shipping on orders over $50. So that's 20% off when you go to wonderskin.com and use our promo code UNLOCKED.
Well, my question to Kris Jenner is, you're trying to protect Rob from China. Where were you when Tyga was sleeping with Kylie when she was underage? I mean, where does the protection start and stop? I don't know. I think that everybody in this whole equation has benefited from all these relationships. China's benefited from them. They've benefited from the drama, you know? And so I think that China still has the right to participate in any money or any profitability that this unfortunate relationship has, caused her. So God bless them all. They all making more money than me, allegedly. So whatever. Well, in other news, Monica, the singer Monica, is responding to white nationalists who are upset at Black people attending the Country Music Awards. Now, I don't find this to be alarming because you remember when Beyonce performed there years ago with the Dixie Chicks, white people lost it because they were like, no, she's not about to bring her Black ass in here and take all our awards too. Well, Monica was recently the victim of discrimination because they were saying that she didn't belong there along with actor Anthony Mackie. Now, Patrick Howley, a white nationalist reporter, took to his talk show and he had a meltdown complaining about the amount of Black people that showed up to this year's Country Music Awards. Listen.
This award show was really kind of a train wreck. There was a chick who was co-hosting it, and they said that she tested positive for the Rona. So let's take a look last night.
I know all of you were
I don't know who this black guy is who's hosting it. It's supposed to be country music. No offense. I mean, y'all have hip-hop and basketball. You know what I mean? It's like, just fly with your flock, bro. I'm not against you, but you're up here being like, the melanated people invented country music.
At the CMT,
we was making country music in Wakanda before Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard done stole the black man's country music. It's like, all right, bro. It's so angry. There were so many black people there, sorry to say, but like so many black celebrities who have nothing to do with country music. And it's like, why? No disrespect to the funky brothers of music. I love Earth, Wind, and Fire, Run DMC, etc. But I mean, like, country music's different. Country music's different. It's not Wakanda.
Monica responded by going to Instagram, and this is what she said. She said, I've never been more motivated. Patrick Howley, although your feelings are likely shared by some, it's not by the masses. I have an all-star legendary team of true country artists that are currently working with me that would beg to differ. Because of the genuine hearts of Leslie Fram and CMT, I shared the stage with Jimmy Allen and Little Big Town. This was the first of many times that you will see me. I see you caught that my skin is melanated, but you missed that it is tough. I'm rooted in the word and built to last. See you soon, or should I say, welcome to Wakanda. Gracefully bows with Anthony Mackie. First, let me say, Monica, you know I love you, and I love the fact that you always have class. Even when you used to get into a Brandy or the fans would try to gaslight you, you always had class. You always took the high ground and the high road. What you said was the Michelle Obama of it all. When they go low, go high. And in the words of Funky Daniva, in my world, when they go low, we go to hell. So here's what I have to say to Patrick. Patrick, you are a piece of shit. That's it. That's all I have to say. I'm not going to say much more because that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You know, recently I was discriminated against at Dior. Me and my team went in there to go buy stuff, spent thousands of dollars to be discriminated against. And now the guy who discriminated against me is now on medical leave because he said my fans tracked him down and have harassed him, and now he needs to take time away. They gave me a pair of shoes to be happy. Just forget the fact that I've been discriminated against. And so now I told my attorney, we need to file a lawsuit against Dior. The reason I bring that up is because I'll go all the way back to Patrick. White people in America in 2022 still feel confident that they can say whatever they want and do whatever they want. How does this idiot, who is probably a shithole version of Rush Limbaugh, try to come out with a commentary or a fact, in his opinion, that Monica and other black people don't have the right to be at CMT, as if black people can't sing country music? We've had K. Michelle on the show who talks about doing country music. That black artist that we just talked about there, I saw him at the Grammys Black Music Collective event where he performed. He's talented. So what do you mean we don't belong there? And the fact that Anthony Mackie and Monica are choosing to take the high road shows that we still have more grace and class than this classless piece of shit, Patrick. Damage, when you hear him speak, do you hear somebody who's really just trying to gaslight and get mentioned on shows like Hollywood Unlocked by talking stupid? Or do you believe this ignorance is real and this is how he really felt?
He felt that in his heart. I see the insecurity all in him. He said, y'all have basketball. Y'all have... As a fan, because as you can see when Monica wrote her post, all the people that are actually creating country music are showing love. Hence, why would they even be there? It's the insecurity that there's going to be one more thing taken away from me as a fan. Y'all got basketball. Y'all got hip and hop and whatever. And even in his rant, which makes him so stupid, I love his rant because he gave a history lesson. Yes, we created country music. We created rock and roll. So thank you for mentioning that. No one's angry. The only person that was angry is you because you see us at a place that, why can't we be here? First of all, black people listen to country music, right? It's a genre of music. Music is for everybody. Actually, music brings people together. My mom loves country music. He seems so insecure. Another thing I love about him is he's clearly a spectator of our culture, because how do you even know what Wakanda is? So you went to go see Black Panther, huh? You was mad it wasn't enough white people at Black Panther? I love this rant because it showed how ignorant he was. And I'm glad that we're shaking the table. I'm glad we're going to these places they don't want us at. And we are being well received. And we're pissing off the people that need to be kind of weaved out anyway. I want us to go to places and make more people uncomfortable so we can have more people talk like him so we can cancel them and move them out the way. So I want this to continue to happen. And I love the way Anthony Mackie and Monica responded. That's what we need to do. Let him be mad. You showing your true colors, you're going to lose your platform. And if not, everybody around you that thought you was cool going to really know your true character. So he's a lame. He's insecure. God bless him.
Well, idiots like him and idiots like Candace Owens, right? They make a career out of being bigots, out of being stupid people. Now, I'm not saying that Candace Owens isn't intelligent because she's smart. She's just smart, stupid. And in this case, this guy, he clearly is just somebody who is a racist. You know, in my opinion, he's somebody who spews racism and hate. I think when I saw Beyonce and the Dixie Chicks perform at the Country Music Awards, I thought that was one of the best performances I've ever seen at the Country Music Awards, because I had never seen any at the Country Music Awards. I don't show up and watch things that don't have representation of people that look like me. So to see Beyonce there, to see Lil Nas X soar and have such an excellent career after having done Old Town Road with Billy Ray Cyrus, I mean, it does show that by partnering and building that bridge, it can open up their audience to a whole new market, which means a whole new base of people who spend money. I don't understand where the anger and frustration comes from and the hate. I don't really know a lot of black people that walk around and talk about white people the way that white people talk about black people. Now, I know there's some old racists. There's some old, well, I don't want to say racist because they say black people can't be racist, but there's some old black people who think white people ain't shit. But I think the masses of black people have just accepted everybody for who they are because we understand our own struggle. Like, we ain't tripping.
See, it's an insecurity, Jason. When he watches TV, the things he love has been overtaken. And this was his last little piece of joy with the Country Music Awards. He's like, oh, they're there too. It's a personal problem. But I love that he put it out there because now you just expose yourself. You're a lame, you're a cornball. And we're going to see you next year at the Country Music Awards. I think we should go, Jason. I want so many more black people to go now to piss people like him off. I want to go wear Black Lives Matter t-shirts or whatever, Blackfish shirts. I want to go blackity, black, black. Like, I want to piss everybody off.
If we go to Country Music Awards, damage, the shirt has to say, Black Country Lives Matter.
There it is.
You know? Okay, listen, speaking of Black Lives Matter, Grand Rapids, now they're in the news because the police there killed another unarmed black man named Patrick Lioa. I think that's how you pronounce his name. But before I say this, I have to tell you, if you haven't gone to my Instagram page yet, please go check it out, because I talked specifically about this. And I'm going to show you what I said in a second. But on April 4th, Grand Rapids police officer Christopher Shore shot and killed a 26-year-old Patrick Lioa, a Congolese refugee. And Patrick was initially pulled over by the officer, who claimed he had an unregistered license plate. So this is why this unarmed black man was murdered, because he had an unregistered license plate. At least that was the reason that was given. At the time, Patrick, who had a criminal record related to driving offenses, also had a revoked license and a warrant out for his arrest for a domestic violence charge. Now, when asked to provide identification, Patrick refused and ran from the officer, who caught him and pinned him to the ground to handcuff him. Well, Patrick resisted, and the officer kneed him down, repeating for him to put his hands behind his back. And they're saying that the officer was trying to gain control. He pulled his taser, but when Patrick grabbed it and there was a lengthy struggle, the officer kneeling on Patrick's back kept telling him to let go, and then pulled out his gun and shot him in the back of Patrick's head, killing him. You know, this doesn't surprise me that this is still happening, because I really feel like black people in America, we get mad from time to time. We don't have this consistent mounting, you know, movement to force people into, you know, not doing things like this. This officer shot this man in the back of his head, killing him, and it was caught on camera. His name was recently released, and so was the video. We can't show you the video because it's too graphic. What do you think it's going to take to stop this from happening?
Honestly, what do I think it's going to take to stop this from happening? Jason, I don't even know, man. Because it's also a dangerous narrative out there where people go, oh, he was resisting arrest, and somehow that equates a death sentence, where police officers are trained specifically for people to resist them. Because if you are a criminal, you're going to try to flee and get away. That doesn't mean you deserve to die over traffic offenses or driving with a revoked license. That's not, oh, I should die tomorrow because of that. So it's like these dangerous narratives that's out there also, that people feel like justify when cops use this kind of brutal force. And it's not when we see perps who happen to be white will have guns, weapons, and what have you, and they're getting shoot with sandbags, or there's all this, you know, cops around them to make sure they're safely taken into police cars. But with us, we kind of just killed like cattle. I don't know what it's going to take for us to mobilize to stop this, because it's a system we're fighting. We're fighting a police system. And I don't know if it comes from the voting. I don't know if we need to protest more. I don't know if it needs to be all of the above. But whatever it is, we need to start doing it. We need to start doing it together. We can't be divided on these issues. We got to start putting these narratives away where, oh, if you resist the police, that's why you died. You should have, like, no, that's not a reason to die. Now, you reaching for your taser, you tasered a man, that could be considered acceptable in some instances, because we've seen cases where people are being tased for no damn reason. So at the end of the day, honestly, Jason, I don't even have an answer to your question. I'm so fed up at this point.
Yeah, I don't either. And it's really hard to explain to kids and people who look like you coming up in the next generation, the world that you're handing over to them, when every day you go to social media and you see this. Kids have cell phones. I just found out my nephew and niece have cell phones at their schools. So they're scrolling through seeing this. And now the cop who's been a cop for 7 years has been stripped of his policing powers and is on administrative leave pending an investigation. Now they're saying, or his union is saying, he had the right to protect himself in the community. And although he did have the right, he did not have the right to shoot that man in the head. Now let's be very clear. Every police officer that has a radio has a panic button. If you're getting into a situation where you're trying to arrest somebody and you can't, you hit that panic button, they're going to send you tons of police cars there to help you. So why didn't you use that? And on your tool belt, you have, you know, handcuffs. Everybody knows, if you read my book, I used to work in probation. There was a time I was on a unit where one of the officers had to take somebody down who was a much stronger than her, and she put her handcuffs on her knuckles and she punched him in order to gain control of the situation. She didn't kill him. You know, we've maced people, but to do all of that just seems egregious, and it almost seems like it's easy and acceptable to do it when there's Black people involved. Now, the Grand Rapids Police Department waited 20 days after the shooting to release the officer's name, which was also 3 days after Patrick was laid to rest. And the chief of police, Eric Winstrom, previously declined to release the name, arguing that the city had a longstanding policy not to release the names of employees under investigation, but eventually did. Now, I was on Instagram earlier this week where I've been very public about my detest over Instagram's new practice of shadow banning content. Now, they don't have an official policy called shadow banning, but they do have certain things that trigger limiting or restricting your content. It's the same fucking thing. Well, now, one issue that I raised is last Friday, a new practice was implemented that affects 100% of accounts across the world, where now if you upload a video, like this video of this unarmed Black man being killed by police, then nobody else can, the other videos uploaded after that, the same video, if it's uploaded by other people, will be shown as unoriginal content and restricted from it being able to be seen by the masses, which means people outside your network won't be able to see it. I raised the issue to Instagram directly, saying this was a problem. 2 days after I post this video on my Instagram that I'm going to show you, this unarmed Black man video pops up. We posted on Hollywood Unlocked, and it got less reach than any other video like this than we've ever had. And I have to tell you, Instagram and Facebook, as long as I've been working with them, I noticed that they are catering to white audiences, white creators, and brands. That is their focus. It is profit over people, it is profit over protection, and it is profit over public information. And as a content creator that built a multi-million dollar brand from scratch off of Instagram, I'm telling the future creators that you should be concerned about that. Let me show you what I said on Instagram. Take a look.
What up, Instagram? Look, so I just got to Sacramento. I'm in my hotel room. It's not the most flattering place, but I posted something when I was on the plane, and I wanted to speak to it. And I'm not going to go into too much detail right now because I want to be able to spend some time digesting everything that's in front of me so I can say this with fact. But let me first start by saying this is my opinion. This is an opinion post. This is an observation post. This is not a post of fact. So I don't want anybody to label this misinformation, because that's how Instagram fucks with your content. It is my opinion that Instagram, and I arrived at this opinion over the years of dealing with them directly, not like most of you directly, is that Instagram as a company, as a brand, does not really care about Black people. They don't only not care about Black people, but they don't really care about creators and creators of color. Now, they do things to make you believe otherwise, but that's called marketing. I'm somebody who built a company, a multi-million dollar brand off of Instagram. And so I pride myself in being able to use this platform. A lot of people are saying, well, if you're not happy, why don't you build your own? It's not that simple, especially if you're black and if you don't know how to raise money in the VC world. But even though I know how to raise money, that's not the thing. The point is we should be able to use these social media apps that control the whole world and connect us very creatively so and sophisticatedly so. We should be able to use them like everybody else. I don't feel like I should have my content hidden or shadow banned because it doesn't line up with the practices of white advertisers or white creators. You know, I don't know why there are creators who will be paid $35,000 a month to create reels when there are black creators being offered $10,000 a month through a program to create reels. It's product marketing. But that's the manipulation to make us all believe that they're investing in black culture, black content. Well, the latest update is that if somebody was to actually take a video of a black man being killed by a white police officer and upload it to Instagram, all of us that upload that video to be able to show that Black Lives Matter all across the world, that video will be restricted to our community. And we all know that we only get a certain small percentage of access to the people that are in our followership. So if I have 521,000 people following, maybe 1% to 3% get to see it. Unless you buy advertising. But can you buy advertising to promote a body being killed by white police officers? No, because they label that violence. It's censorship. It's restricting our ability to communicate freely, to build community, to share with our community. It also is a way of controlling the growth of our brand. So for example, if an advertiser was to make a video and put it on Instagram and want to have other smaller bloggers or blogs or other pages or influencers to post those videos, now this new update that they updated on Friday restricts all of your ability to reshare that and get reach beyond the community that you have, and that's already restricted by Instagram unless you pay for it, but even then you may not be able to amplify it. Now, I don't know that this update that affected 100% of the users across the globe was even communicated, because some of us got it in an email and some of us have probably more access than the regular person. But those of us like me that has a media portal that likes to support black creators and black content creators and black publishers, because I also get people verified who are legitimately moving culture forward and that are eligible. I help to fix pages that are taken down. the rapper Draco, I think it's Draco the Ruler, when his Instagram got taken down, I got it back up. Some of your favorite blogs who got verified, I got them verified. Why? Because I believe that having a presence and having an even balanced presence with white creators is important for black creators beyond Hollywood Unlocked. But today I spoke with Angie at the Shade Room. Yesterday I talked to Robin at Ball Alert. And I feel like it's time that black people of color, and when I say people of color, I mean Latina, Latinos, Indians, everybody that got some melanin or non-melanin, a little bit of non-melanin, and those non-melanin people that want to stand with us, I think it's time that we take a direct action. Yeah, there's other platforms we can support and we should support, but why should we be forced out of Instagram because they don't care about black people, because they don't care about privacy? I'm going to tell you my privacy issue with them in my next update. And when you hear about that, you're going to be surprised, because, you know, privacy is, I guess, not that important at Instagram. That's my opinion. Do not take my page down for giving my opinion. And I don't even like doing these posts no more, because I'm just over dealing with privilege and power over people. Profit over people. Privacy ain't for the people.
So what do you think is going to take for people to prioritize our matters, our issues, our interests, our community needs, and our ability to walk through life freely as black people by sharing content, you know, highlighting injustices where they exist around the world, and being able to promote and have audiences outside our audience gravitate towards this? What do you think it's going to take for people to make black people and our issues a priority?
I know it's going to sound like some kumbaya stuff that we say all the time, but we need our own social media platforms, because now we keep fighting this uphill battle where we're being censored. Things that matter to our community is being stripped, shadow banned, blocked, covered, removed, deleted. And I know it's like, oh, we always say that we need to create our own. We literally do, because issues, outside of us trying to promote what we're trying to promote with our brands or whatever, when it comes to real issues that affect our community, we can't spread the word. We can't pass this message along because we're on somebody else's platform and it's not in their best interest. So we need to create something that's in our best interest. That's why it's so dope that we have platforms like Hollywood Unlocked, because it's catered to our best interest. This is owned and created by you, Jason Lee. There's no other red tape that we have to deal with. And I think we need more platforms like that. I love Facebook for the tool it is. Everybody loves Facebook and Instagram. Of course, they're combined. It's amazing. A lot of us have our whole businesses ran through it. But at the end of the day, when it comes to issues like this, and even with our businesses, we are at the lowest of the totem pole when it comes to our priorities and what we need to do and to reach our audience that actually follows us. I have 94,000 followers. I can post something and maybe 0.5% of the people see it. That's insane, right? That's crazy. And it's one thing when I'm posting a picture of, oh, me looking like I'm wearing a shirt. And it's another thing when I'm trying to pass a message that's going to actually help my community, the youth, people around me. It's different when my community can't be reached in that way. And I think it's time for us to really step up and either support a platform that supports us or create our own platform. And I think we have the resources. We have the people in our community that can do so.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I've been getting a lot of pressure since I've gone public about creating my own app. And I'm not going to say that there's not a potential to build my own app, but it is a lot of work. And it's almost like saying, you know, this restaurant isn't made for Black people, so just go get your own restaurant. We should be able to participate in the luxury of using these social media apps, right? You know, if you earn 94,000 followers, we earn 3 million or 500,000 or 2,000, we should be able to reach all of our followers. And if we can't reach all of them, at least reach 50% and then allow the other 50% to be unlocked some other way. Like, I understand they want to be the most powerful engine on the world to reach all the people. But I just personally believe that now it's impacting our ability to tell stories about the Black dead bodies on the ground at the hands of white police officers. It almost works in tandem with, you know, canceling culture. All right, well, listen, that's the show. Make sure you stay tuned in, stay locked in, stream us everywhere because we're a podcast as well, and keep coming back to Fox Hill. We're out. Peace.
Peace.
All right, look, that was a great show, and make sure you keep coming back because we got all types of amazing interviews and topics that are going to make you go crazy.
Uh-huh, that's right. That means like, subscribe, do everything you need to do to make sure you stay up to date with what we got going on.
And ladies, stay tuned in because you know I have your back.
And listen, make sure that you're commenting below because even though I say I don't read it on the show, that's all I do when it's over. Peace.